There seems to have been a little confusion. We aren't selling fruit for $5.22 a gallon. If you look at the sign, it says, the first thing, yes, I was playing on the gut milk thing, all right? But I didn't have any question marks for the sign. The lack of the question mark, instead of saying gut fruit, says gut fruit. That G-A-L period is Galatians 5.22, so that's a reference to what we'll be talking about today. So I don't know if that was clever or cliche. My daughter thought it was cliche. You know, sometimes the fine line between clever and cliche is very blurry. That's my story, and I'm going to stick to it. All right. And this will be a multi-part message. I'm not sure how many parts. I don't know if I'm going to spend each week on each fruit of the Spirit or if we're going to combine a few. But we're going to be talking about this probably for a good chunk of the summer because I believe it's important what the Holy Spirit produces in your life. So here's my disclaimer to get things started, though. On the surface, this message might initially appear to you to be one that focuses on behavior and action. And if that's what you get from it, then you've missed the point. This is not the point I'm trying to get across. We will talk about why certain actions and why certain behaviors are important. But as I've said before, ad nauseum probably, these actions and behaviors must flow from a transformed heart. That's what we talked about all during Soul Shift. That's what we're going to keep talking about, a transformed heart. So I don't want you to focus simply on what you do. Or what I want you to do, because there are some things I want you to do. Or what God wants you to do, even. As much as you need to focus primarily on what God wants you to be. It's not about doing as much as it's about being, because when you be, when you let God turn you into what he wants you to be, then the doing falls in line. What he wants to make you, how he wants to transform you so that you can do the things and produce the results in your life that he desires. Let me read you some scripture, Matthew 7, 15 through 21. Actually, I don't think it's 21. I think, yes, it is. 50, yeah, see on the sheet it says 15 through 11, so we're not going to read it backwards. That's a typo. So just whatever it says up there, yeah. You can correct any mistakes on the. I was getting tired by the time I was doing the handout. I was like, you know, I don't want to do a handout. I didn't do one last week because Glenn preached and it was a great message. He didn't have a handout. Why do I have to have a handout? I'm my own worst enemy. Matthew 7, 15 through 21. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. This is called not rocket science theology, right? A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. And I probably should have emboldened that phrase as well. You can identify people by their actions. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. All right, here's a few blanks for you to fill in. Here's the truth. What we say, what we do, and how we act says a lot about us. Okay, I'll say that one more time just so there's no confusion. What we say, what we do, and how we act says a lot about us. Now, a lot of people can philosophically argue this, but the reality is what comes out of your life is the proof of the pudding. And you can say, well, that's not really me, but, well, you'll see why in a little bit. And again, I want you to understand, while our actions and our behaviors don't actually save us, we're not saved by our actions. We're not saved by our behavior. They are a reflection of who and what we truly are at the core, in the core of our being. in our weak moments, what we do, what we have a tendency to do, what we have a tendency to say, reflects what's going on the inside. That's just the reality of it. And if you want more proof, I'll read you some more scripture. I think it's Matthew 12, 33 through 35. I don't see any typos, so we're good. Notice the kiwi on the. Identify the various fruits. There will be a contest afterwards. People who identify the correct fruits, you'll get my congratulations. Okay. Matthew 12, 33. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. I think we've heard this before. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes. Now, he's talking to the Pharisees here. He was talking about the Pharisees. Now he's talking to the Pharisees. And he wasn't very kind to them. If you want to win awards with people, don't call them snakes and vipers and things like that. I can imagine, you know, a new pastor shows up in town, goes to the ministerial, looks at the pastors and says, you're all snakes. He wouldn't get invited back. How could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Or as the NIV puts it, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. So now he's bringing the comparison. He's bringing it a little close to home. Now the tree that produces fruit is like us. And the kind of fruit that we produce is a reflection of what's really going on in here. That might be discouraging. It might seem a little condemning. But there is good news. Here's the truth. What we say, and for that matter do, is an indication of what is in our heart in abundance, or the overflow of the heart. I mean, you know what it's like when you have something, you put a glass under a tap and you run, and a lot of times you'll let it overflow. You're trying to run the tap so that it gets cold. Sometimes you put a dish in the sink and it's full of gunk and grime because, you know, there's like dried chili on it or something, and you pour that, you turn the water on and it overflows. And after a while it overflows, it kind of cleans it out. But the reality is, if something is full of another substance and you continue to pour that substance in that something, it's going to overflow that substance. Does that make sense? I mean, if I have a garbage can overflowing, what's going to overflow out of it? Garbage. I mean, you could hope for something nice to fall out of the garbage, but it's still garbage. And when it's full of garbage and you put more garbage in it, it's going to overflow with garbage. And so that's kind of the analogy here. So Jesus is really coming down hard on the Pharisees because of their attitude and their kind of wicked machinations and their conniving spirit. And he says, you know, I'm not surprised that you guys are behaving this way, because in your heart, you've been filling your heart with evil, and so evil's going to come out. And unfortunately for us, we might not be Pharisees, or at least we might not intend to be Pharisees, but the reality is what comes out of our mouth and how we live day to day is a reflection of what we've been pouring into our heart in abundance. Now, we live in a culture that pours into us. And if we're not careful, without even realizing it, our life can overflow negativity. Our life can overflow things that we don't want. We don't want those things to come out of us. But they do, because that's what we've been stuffed with. You know, as Americans, or as Canadians living in America, as North Americans, you know, we are kind of a gluttonous culture. And we can talk about food, but then we can talk about our consumer mentality. We are so used to having at our fingertips everything that we could ever want or need. Reminds me of that old Cademan's Call song, "This world is nothing for me, and this world is everything. All that I could want and nothing that I need." You know, so our appetite for food ends up being the same as our appetite for information, and our impatience for the same. We live in a culture where you can go online and find pretty much anything you want to know about anything in 3 seconds, and if it's not fast enough, we're hitting the back button and going to the next website. And so we consume not just substances, but media, and our senses are consumed, and we have a desire, and our tendency is to just kind of fulfill it. You know, I want some ice cream, I go in the fridge, I get ice cream, because it's there. I want a can of pop, I go get a can of pop, because I've got it. You know, I want to watch my favorite TV show, I go on Netflix, and I can watch it. Everything, it's just there, it's all there. And so we're always pouring stuff into ourselves, and some of it may be benign or ambivalent, but just remember, whatever you're pouring into yourself in abundance, that's what's going to come out in the weak moments. That's the reality. There's no way around this. If I'm spewing negativity and garbage from my mouth, Jesus makes it quite clear that apparently my heart has some negativity and garbage in it. Maybe it's time to put myself under the tap and see if I can fill myself up with something different. And see, that's the key. I can try to focus on controlling what I say, or, and by or I mean ignore the first thing and do this. I can adjust what goes into my heart. This is the key to succeeding. I could spend some time in James talking about the realities and difficulties of controlling the tongue. It's not about controlling the tongue, it's about what I put in my heart. So why do I talk about this? Well, if I control what goes into my heart instead of trying to control what I say or even control what I do, then the reality is I don't really have to control anything because my nature is transformed. Let's go to Galatians 5. Let's talk about fruit. 5:22 a gallon. Galatians 5, 16 through 25. I think your handout says 24. Extra verse. Bonus, no cost. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Can I get the whole good tree, bad tree analogy now? It's still there. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. This is why the Holy Spirit is so important. Because there are things that we desire that we don't really want to desire. And the only way our desires are going to change is if we let the Spirit of God clean us out and fill us up. And I know maybe for some of you it's difficult to imagine your desires changing, but I love pizza so much. I mean, we might as well compare it to appetites, because there are other things, you know, that we enjoy that we can't imagine we would ever want to give up. But the Spirit says, if you trust me, I'll give you a whole different desire, and you won't miss that thing that you thought you couldn't live without. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. Have any of you ever experienced this? Anyone? None of you? Okay. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under or no longer under the obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear, and these are the things that were read earlier during the call to worship: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the things that come from giving into the sinful nature. And I know that hardly any of you ever struggle with any of those on that list. Especially those really crazy ones like envy and jealousy and selfish ambition. Outbursts, I know. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Please understand, this is not another you must do more or you must try harder sermon. It's not about that. While there may be some tiny discipline-related components to seeing one or more of these fruits, the fruit of the Spirit, more prevalently lived out in your life, discipline isn't the key. Not even close. If you try to approach the various fruits listed here from a discipline-minded focus, you're going to fail. You might succeed for a day, right? I'm going to be more patient. I'm going to be more patient. I'm going to be, will you knock it off? I'm trying to be, you know, I mean, it just doesn't work. I'm going to be loving. I'm going to be loving. I'm going to be loving. Self-control. Oh, look, a fish. You know, I mean, it just, you can't do it for very long from a human perspective. You can't. And so while what I'm trying to share with you is difficult and it's difficult to communicate, I want to encourage you that the key is a different focus. Go to the next slide. The truth is, it is about focus and nurturing the proper conditions. It's about your focus and nurturing the proper conditions. I'll explain that in a moment. I'll let you spell the word nurturing. There's another fruit there, just so you know. Now look, I understand that analogies break down. You come up with an analogy to try to express something. Jesus, Paul, the disciples, the writers of the New Testament use a lot of analogies to compare spiritual growth and spiritual life to things that we can relate to so that we have kind of a frame of reference. I like this fruit analogy because I think we can carry it pretty far. Because this analogy, it's effective, and it carries a lot of practical value. So what I want to do is talk about for just a moment what it takes to produce good fruit. You're going to produce good fruit, you need good soil, right? You need the right kind of seed. If I want to grow apples, I am not going to plant potatoes. And then be all frustrated, because where are my apples? Well, what did you plant? Well, I had potatoes. Well, but you planted potatoes. Yeah, but I want apples. And why didn't you plant apples? You know, I mean, okay, that's... I remember there was a friend of mine years ago that we had some pie in the car, and it wasn't pie, it was apples. And he said, oh, what are all the apples for? My mom said, we're going to make pie. He said, oh, yeah, what kind of pie? And there was a silence in the car that descended. And we're like, really? Anyway, that's okay, I'm getting off track. Okay, good soil, some of you will get it later. Okay, good soil, the right kind of seed. You need water, you need light. My favorite, you need maintenance. I mean, there needs to be some weeding, there might need to be some fertilizer, you might need to do something about particular kind of bugs or vermin, chicken wire, rabbits, gophers, or in my case, cows. The time we had the garden in the backyard, the cows got in the, it was gone, okay. Time. So what I need to do, I must make sure that the conditions are right. Go on to the next slide. I must make sure that the conditions are right as a gardener for the fruit to grow and to be ready for the harvest. I don't really focus on producing apples as much as I focus on taking care of everything that needs to be taken care of for the apple orchard to be healthy. When Rylan was really little, probably about Courtney's age, we decided we needed to put a fence in the backyard because we wanted to keep him close to home. And so we and some of the guys from the church, we got together, we put a fence in the backyard. We didn't go all the way to the back of the yard because there was this line of trees and bushes, and it was kind of Well, number one, we were cheap. We didn't want to spend the extra money. And we just didn't feel like going around behind all those trees. So we kind of cut the edge of the yard short before all the trees and bushes. And a few years ago, our neighbor said, "Hey, are you guys going to do anything with that land behind your fence?" Because she says, I'd love to be able to make a garden. And we're like, fantastic. And so that has become kind of an annual project for Diana and our kids. And the garden has grown and become more and more elaborate every year. Tomatoes and squash and jalapeno peppers and carrots. And I mean, it's just amazing. But the care, I mean, those of you that know our neighbor know that she is a stickler. I mean, she's got 40, I mean, she has 10 green thumbs on her hand. You know, I mean, she is amazing because of the time and the energy that she puts into nurturing that garden. And it produces fruit. So if love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are like fruit, and Paul does call them the fruit of the Spirit after all, then it would be counterproductive for me to attempt to simply behave in these ways using some form of human discipline. That's not going to produce the results that I really want. Because that might be like standing in front of an apple tree, gritting my teeth, and wishing for apples. Grow apples, grow apples, grow. Might make me feel good. Kind of like when you talk to the light, change, change, change. It doesn't care what you say. It's not going to change until it wants to. Or better yet, maybe taping apples to a dead tree. I'll go get the apples, I'll tape them to the tree, and I can feel... I think that might be an accurate picture of how some of us do this. Or better yet, taping apples to a raspberry bush. I did have a moment a couple years ago. It was a little moment where I looked out on the locust tree in the backyard, and there were two pine cones on the branch. And I thought, what is going on? Well, the girls had done this thing where they had rolled a pine cone in peanut butter and birdseed and hung it from the branch. I didn't see the string. All I knew is there were two pine cones growing on the locust tree, and I was having a moment. Did somebody graft a... No, anyway, I didn't know. All right. But, you know, it's not going to work. I could try to tape apples to a raspberry bush or a lemon tree. I'm not producing apples. It might look to some that I'm producing apples until somebody gets up close and realizes... Okay. Or I could wish that an orange tree would produce a watermelon. And that's not effective either. Instead, I have got to choose to nurture the proper conditions in my life for the fruit of the Holy Spirit to grow and become healthy in my life. So instead of focusing on the results, I need to focus on the Spirit and my relationship with God. And what I need to be pouring into my life so that this stuff comes out of my life. Does that make sense to you? So here are three truths that I want you to think about this week before we really begin to dive into the meat of these various fruits of the Spirit, which I know fruit doesn't have meat, but anyway, sorry, the analogy breaks down. Three truths to think about. Number one, the fruit that is produced in our life is in essence the proof. Okay, it's the proof of what's going on. It's the proof of who I am. It's the proof of what I'm doing. The proof of the pudding, if you will, even though you might not put fruit in pudding either. Okay, like I said, the analogies only carry so far. There you go. Thank you. So the truth is, there is no other proof that will suffice, that will say to me that I'm living a life that's full of the Spirit of God. The way you dress is not the proof. Anything that you do, anything that's external, is not the proof. The only real proof that the Spirit of God is at work in your life is if your life is producing these fruits, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I mean, there are churches that you know, if you do this, if you exemplify this discipline, or if you show this spiritual gift, that's the proof that you're full of the Holy Spirit. No, it's not. The proof that you're full of the Holy Spirit is that your life is producing this fruit. That's the proof. I'm not going to judge that in you. It's not my job to judge that in you. It's not anybody else's job to judge that in anybody else. It's your job to judge that in yourself and say, if that's my measuring stick, I need to look at my life and say, am I producing love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control? If I'm not, the conditions need to be nurtured differently. Secondly, your focus will ultimately determine what your heart is full of. I know that's a dangling preposition, bear with me. I couldn't figure out another way to say it. But what you focus on will determine what is in your heart in abundance. And there are a lot of things in our world that we can focus on. There are negative things, and like you said before, there are benign things. But I guarantee you, there's only so much room in your heart. And what you fill it with is what your life is going to produce. And if you're frustrated, I'm just not as patient as I should be. I don't have as much self-control as I need to have. I know I'm not as loving. I'm not experiencing the kind of joy. Look, it's not time to start trying to have joy. It's not time to start trying to have more self-control. It's time to draw close to God and say, God, I need to start pouring into myself the things I need to pour into myself so that self-control is produced and that patience is produced and faithfulness is produced. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit will produce his fruit in us, in you, if and when he is allowed to, unhindered. Sometimes it's not a matter, we kind of get caught up in, oh, I got to do this. No, you don't really. What you need to do is let God do what he wants to do all along instead of keeping him out. We're very protective of our space. We have our spiritual bubble. It's almost like, here, God, you can work on this area in my life, but let me just keep these aside for now because I'm not quite ready for you to go there. Now, I realize I'm not getting into a whole slew of practical things that you can do this week, but I want you to meditate on these ideas that the fruit produced in your life is the proof of what's really going on in here. That your focus will determine what your heart is full of, and that the Spirit of God will work to produce that fruit in your life if you allow him to. Key word, allow him. Allow him. Because he wants to do the work. It's not that we have to beg God to do things. God's wanting to do all kinds of stuff. And we get in the way, and we put up roadblocks, and we have walls, and we have all of these reasons why he can't do this, and he can't touch that. And the truth is, God's like, I have all this stuff that I want to do. You won't let me. It's like the kid that the shirt's inside out and they're pulling their head through the armhole and you're like, you want to help them and they're like, no, screaming at you. Okay, maybe that's just my daughter, Courtney. But anyway, they're like, no, I'll do it myself. And I'm like, yeah, but you get and I know God's going, but just bring it here. Just bring it here. And it's twisted and inside out. And we're like, no, I do it myself. And we wonder why we're frustrated. Instead of saying, okay, mommy, here, daddy. Take it. God wants your lives to be fruitful in the sense that he wants to produce this kind of fruit in your life. The reality is, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to be people that exemplify these fruits. We should be the most loving, joyful, patient, good, kind, peaceful, faithful, gentle, self-controlled people in existence. We should. And the key isn't to try harder. The key is to nurture the right conditions so that God can produce the fruit in us that he desires. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you that you didn't come down here just to tell us what was wrong so that we could feel bad about ourselves. But instead, by becoming like us, your heart's desire was to show us how we could become more like you. And not just through a process of discipline or a process of making different choices, but through the transforming power of your word and your spirit upon us. Your desire, Father, is to take us and bring us back to what you wanted us to be in the first place. And I know, Father, that we spend much of our lives in frustration. And that frustration, a lot of it is self-imposed. A lot of it, we're our own worst enemies. But I pray over the next few weeks, God, as we focus on the various fruits of the Spirit and some of the most practical things that we can do to see that fruit produced in our life, I pray, God, that this wouldn't be a time where we would feel condemned, but instead we would be inspired to rise to the challenge, to draw close to you, to open ourselves to the power of your Spirit in our lives, that you might, as we learned before, shift us and begin to produce things in our life that maybe we've never seen before, things that maybe we never thought were even possible. But because we know that you, the Creator, our God, and our Savior, have come to change and transform us and to make us whole and to make us holy, this is your desire. And I know, Father, that you, who have begun that good work in us, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. So I pray, God, this week, as we begin to meditate on the concept of producing the right fruit, God, that you would help us realize our focus is important. Allowing you access is so, so important. And I pray that we could begin to really take stock of what is being poured into us so that we can examine what is in our heart in abundance. Because we want the right things to be in our heart in abundance as you transform our desires and our very nature. Thank you for the process that you'll be taking us through, Lord. Thank you for the promise of being more than we could ever be without you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, look at the person next to you and say something really profound like, don't try harder, be. Is that profound enough? God bless. Have a great week.